Welcome back to the Lynx Golf Podcast. This is digital editor Al Lunsford with Lynx. I'm so excited. This is awesome. Probably the most excited I've been for one of our guests. He's also a friend. We hung out at Java Burrito in Hilton Head Island for a minute last year, but I think he's doing things his way and making a super cool and positive impact on the game and growing the game of golf. He's a self-described full-time journey junkie and a golf hobo, and I don't know what else he might call himself, but his actual name is Matt Cardis, better known maybe as Golf in Your State on Instagram and other outlets. And he's joining me from the Bandon Dunes parking lot right now. Matt, what's going on?
Thanks for having me, Al. I appreciate it. I mean, that's a hell of an intro. I mean, most excited you've been, I will take that as a massive compliment. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, and I think I talked to Gary Player, too, so yeah, I would even put you above him. So there you go, man.
I'm honored.
Well, before I get into who you are, I was trying to figure out where on the map you would be, and it's kind of hard to figure it out because you're all over the place all the time, living out of your van, quite literally. So what are you doing at Bandon right now? You just happen to get an invite?
You know, currently right now, I'm on a 60-day project all over the country. I started it here in the Pacific Northwest up in Washington at Gamble Sands. And, you know, I'm working my way around the country. I found myself in Washington for about a week, Oregon for about a week. You know, the main premise of this project is that I'm revisiting a bunch of memorable moments and experiences from the past 4 years. And I'm fortunate that I've spent quite a bit of time here at Bandon. I've built some really great relationships in the community, specifically some of the loopers out here. So I'm actually out here doing a little bit of production on one of my caddy friends that I've met recently through Instagram, and we've connected over the past year. And yeah, that's kind of how I found myself here on this trip.
So you mentioned you're doing this from the past 4 years. Does that line up with when you started the Golf in Your State journey, and how did that kind of initially start? What were you doing before you'd started this brand and kind of made this who you are?
So I started Golf in Your State in October of 2016. So it's been, 4.5 years now? Yeah, 4.5 years now.
Yeah.
You know, prior to starting this, I worked in advertising. I worked for a media company. My home base is in Jacksonville, Wyoming. I worked for a small media company, locally owned. We owned a couple local newspapers, like 8 magazine publications, a couple websites. I sold advertising across their platforms. You know, prior to that, I was, you know, a ski bum. That's really where my whole lifestyle comes from, is my previous life as a ski bum. I used to work seasonal jobs in hotels so that I could snowboard 100 days a year. And, you know, through my love of photography, I was shooting a lot of landscape and wildlife photography. I saw kind of a correlation between, you know, shooting animals in the wild, like grizzly bears and moose and things like that, that I enjoyed shooting, and shooting golfers candidly on a golf course. I saw kind of a you know, real strong similarity between the two. And, you know, I started Golf in Your State with an idea, you know, I want to be a commercial golf course photographer. And it's kind of morphed into, you know, what I am with Golf in Your State today. You know, I'm a photographer, content creator, producer, social media influencer, you name it. I wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
You know, brand ambassador. Yeah, there's a lot of things that go on in my world to create what is Golf in Your State. But, and that's part of this 60 days, is, you know, the whole Detour project is really revolves around me telling my origin story and what Golf in Your State is and what I do and how I impact communities and how I impact golf courses and how I impact individuals. So it's a little bit of a passion project, as you can see, as most of my projects are. Yeah. You know, it's, did I answer the question? I feel like I'm rambling.
I think, yeah, double time. You answered it plenty. And you probably still didn't completely answer it right. Cause I mean, I would throw philanthropist in there. I would throw growing the game ambassador. I think what you're doing is so cool and unique, because it's so authentically you. Like, you're going to all these places that people know, but they're seeing a different side of that familiar Bandon Dunes. Or I know you're out at like Sweetens Cove. You spent time at Pinehurst, down here in Hilton Head, showing people a completely different side of what they've ever seen or expected to see at some of these places.
You know, I'm really fortunate in the fact of, you know, through relationship comes access to, you know, dig a little deeper and create these really unique golf stories, right? My travels are part golf, part lifestyle, part travel. But really it's the relationships that, you know, the cultivated relationships are what creates the opportunity for me to show a different side of things, right? You know, the pandemic's a great example of that. Me quarantining at golf courses, you know, it was an opportunity that it doesn't present itself very often to very many people. But, you know, through me building those relationships over the years, people trust me to, you know, leave me at their property for an extended period of time and know that I'm going to do right and, you know, respect the land. And, you know, philanthropist is a big compliment as well. It isn't a title I put on myself very often, but, you know, I use the word impact, right? You know, I have a platform to communicate messages. And anytime I can talk about environmental and social issues and, you know, talk about it in a way that really is something I'm passionate about is an opportunity that I'm going to take. So whether it's environmental or social issues, I mean, here I am at Bandon. And part of the reason I'm here is because I wanted to support this water program that they've just started. You know, they basically are replacing all their plastic, single-use plastic water bottles with reusable water bottles and water stations throughout the property. And it's something that they just announced for Earth Day a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't able to make it up at that time, but I'm here now in support of that, right? So it was one of the things that I had talked to them a few years back when kind of I was doing my golf wall project. You know, it was something we talked about at that time, and here they are instituting it. Fantastic. Like, you know, that's impact to me. It might just be a conversation of, hey, Matt, do you have any ideas that we can do for Earth Day? And, you know, I say a couple words that leads to them completely eliminating their plastic water bottles, right? Like, yeah. Absolutely fantastic. And I can't take all the credit for that. Like, you know, I know that every golf course is looking for opportunities to, you know, become more environmentally friendly and offset, you know, other environmental impact that they might have. So I can't take credit for it, but, you know, it's something that makes me proud, and it's something I definitely enjoy is, you know, communicating ideas that people then take it a step further and actually initiate these thoughts that I have. Right.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. I want to talk about the progression of your projects, but, you know, a lot of people will probably have seen, your van, whether they knew it was you or not. It's very recognizable. Hashtag van life. what is it like living out of a van? I assume that's your home now. You don't have like a proper house anywhere.
Correct.
Is it all it's glammed up to be?
No.
Is there any glam to it?
No. Easy answer is no. Yes, I am a full-time van lifer. I live in this 365 days a year. When I started golfing your state, I sold my house. I gave up my room. I was renting a room at one of my friend's houses. Gave that up. I traded in my car. So this is my daily driver. It's my everything. I mean, it's my home. It's my mobile workspace. It's everything. Yeah. So definitely full-time van life. It's definitely portrayed as a very different thing on social media, right? You see a lot of, if you look up hashtag van life, you'll see a lot of, you know, very, I don't want to say supermodels, but, you know, very attractive women in like these very beautiful settings. And I can tell you that is completely staged. As I look around the van right now, I guess I'm a little bit different because I'm like a truly working traveler, right? That's where the term golf hobo really does fit me well, because, you know, the definition of a hobo is a traveling worker, which I am. I mean, you know, I'm a freelancer. I go from place to place. I pick up what opportunities I can and add to my existing schedule. But, you know, me being on project like I am, I'm constantly coming and going from the van, throwing things everywhere. And, you know, I come back from a full day on production and it's just trashed, right?
Right.
Like it's every inch of this thing, everything's got a place. And, you know, even when everything is in its place, it never looks clean because there's just stuff everywhere. So, I mean, yeah. Since you have kind of a view, I mean, you can look and see how packed this thing is. Like, literally everything has a place.
Yeah.
So when you see kind of those supermodels, I think the glamour side of it is portrayed on social media a little bit, maybe too much. But I mean, with that said, I get to sleep in beautiful places. I mean, there's so much freedom to it, you know. There's a lot of things I really, really love about being on the road full time. And I mean, it's the reason why I do it, is those little things. But it's also a very challenging lifestyle, right? Like, you know, living out of parking lots most of the time, you know, in a setting like this, privacy, it's tough, right? Yeah. So did you see that? I just killed the power in the van.
Yeah. It just kicked something over.
A little toe tap of a switch. Yeah. I just killed all the power.
Well, I love how you've decorated the entire thing. And I saw you've got this cool jacket with a bunch of logos on it too, and signatures everywhere on the van.
I've turned the interior of the van into kind of, I like to call it the traveling golf art installation, right? It's a collection of things that people have submitted to me, given to me, things from my travels so that I remember them. It's kind of a mix of everything. It's very eclectic. It's very me. It's a bunch of golf flags of places that I love. I mean, it's inspiring, you know, when I sit in this thing, it just makes me look back and think about all the memories over the years, right? Because every sticker on this wall, every picture I look at, every signature on the outside, you know, for me, that's it reminds me of a time and a place when I was with that person or that brand or that whatever it might be in here. It's you know, being a photographer, I do that with imagery, right? You know, you take a photo, it takes you right, it gives you that feeling and that emotion, it takes you right back to that place. I get that same thing when I look at one of these stickers on the wall that I remember that person placing, right?
Yeah.
It's emotional for me because it's you know, a culmination of everything that I've done in the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't really talk about the beginning, but the first 2 years of this, I lived in a pop-up tent on top of my car. I've been in the van since January of 2019, so a little over 2 years. So everything you see in here is from the past 2 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. I was gonna ask, I mean, I'm sure it's hard to, when you're in the thick of it, like sometimes sit there and appreciate where you are, because you're so on the go, seems like nonstop sometimes. And I wondered if you kept a tally of where you've been, but in a way that's kind of what that is a physical tally of every single place or a lot of the places that you've been. I could just sit and like look around for hours trying to figure out different places.
I know, it's so fantastic. Yeah. I do keep record of everyone that signed the exterior of the van. So I do have record of that, you know, the artwork and stuff. It just kind of comes as it comes. It's very spontaneous. People, I'll be playing with somebody and they'll show up with a piece of artwork, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some type of memento. It's something I started out keeping track of like everything. And, you know, I realized pretty early on that it was all irrelevant to me. I didn't care how many courses I had played. I didn't care, you know, which states I've played in, like all that stuff's irrelevant to me. It's more about the journey and the people I connect with and things along those lines than it is, you know, stats or anything along that.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of connecting with people and bringing an impact, like we talked about earlier, the first thing, if you go to your website, you'll see is the Golf Wall Project. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and where you've been and what kind of impacts you've had on different golf communities?
Sure. So I started the Golf Wall Project in August of 2019. I spent 6 months on the road with it. Essentially what I was doing was traveling around the country on a dedicated mission. It was the only thing I was doing at the time. Basically traveling the country, bring groups of golfers together to give back to the communities that I visited. So I ended up doing 13 events. It was a wide variety of things. Going back to the environmental and social impact, you know, we did beach cleanups, we fed homeless people, we did community cleanups, we helped some municipal golf courses, we did a variety of different initiatives. But the overall goal was really to inspire people, right? Bringing people together to give back to their communities. My hope was that they would take it back to their home or workplace, you know, say that we should be doing more for our communities and so forth. Twofold, you know, another big side of it for me was, you know, just the impression of non-golfers, right? I specifically picked areas and initiatives that you wouldn't likely find golfers, right?
Yeah.
So, because I wanted people to be like, what are those golfers doing in our community? That was the key. That was what I was going for. What are those golfers doing cleaning our beach? What are those golfers doing in East Oakland feeding homeless people? And, you know, because I think for me, the bigger picture of it was, how do we make golf more relatable to the masses? And when people see golfers doing things outside of what they would think a traditional golfer is, it then opens the door of conversation of, hey, maybe golf isn't what I thought it was, right?
Right.
So,
changing the perception of what golf and what golfers are, I think that's a big part of how the game is going to grow in the next immediate future and to the next generation, because, you know, there's certainly a lot of people that still think it's a bunch of stuffy rich folk that only they have access to play golf and enjoy golf. And, you know, the more that message can kind of get turned on its head and we talk to people like you and figure out ways to make a difference, I think the better off golf will eventually be. So
I love when non-golfers see me in the van and start a conversation. They're not players. They have no idea about the game, but they have kind of, you know, this perception of what it is. And here I am sitting in a parking lot in Nebraska. And, you know, they look at me like, you know, almost like I'm an animal at a zoo exhibit, right? I did not think that golf was like this. And I'm like, right. Yeah, well, you know, I'm one of the most passionate golfers you'll ever meet.
Right.
So it's kind of, for me, that it's really fun to have those conversations and talk about the game in a different way than what people would traditionally think. And I mean, it's really hard to gauge like what the impact is there, right? Like, is that person then going to go pick up a golf club? Probably not, but who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe I'll invite them to come with me. And, you know, I've done that with people. I've brought so many non-golfers to their driving range for the first time that I just randomly met.
Uh-huh.
And I love it. It's fun. Like, it's fun to just show a different side of golf and be a different side of golf and have people embrace that.
Yeah. And maybe you're just opening a door and they may not go play golf with you, but it may convince them that, like, I could do that. Like, here's a guy that is kind of like me or different than I thought it was going to be. And why not? Why not give it a shot? So that's really cool.
You know, I think longer term, you know, that guy's going to go back and be like, Cousin Joe, next time Cousin Joe's going to play golf, right? He's not going to look at him like, there's no way I want to go play golf. It might be, oh, maybe I should go play golf with Cousin Joe today, right?
Yeah.
That's the hope.
So quarantine happens. And that kind of, I don't know if you came up with the idea of My Island Green, but it was sprouted from the idea of, like you said a little bit earlier, being able to spend an extended period of time basically making a golf course your home, essentially. So what did you do? Was Sweetens the first place that you camped out, or?
The first place was Tobacco Road in North Carolina. So basically, what do you do as a full-time van lifer during a worldwide pandemic? Big question, right? I banged my head against the wall for weeks trying to figure out what I was going to do. Sitting at my sister's house in Florida, I had to be at the Players Championship for work. So I'm at Thursday of the Players. They cancel the PGA Tour starting Friday, fans. And so what do I do? You know, do I lean on friends and family members, go stay in their parking lot? And, you know, for me, it wasn't really an option. I looked at that as a burden to those friends and family members. So what I decided to do was reach out to a couple golf courses that I have really tight relationships with and see if they'd be willing to just have me on property for a couple weeks. And, you know, at that point, none of us knew how long this was going to last, right? So I was just trying to burn, you know, a month, 2 months. I had no idea. None of us did. So I reached out to a couple places. The response was very overwhelming. You know, it was, again, humbling, and, you know, feeling the love from some people that I've built strong relationships with, that they were like, yeah, we'd love to have you. So I ended up spending 8 days at Tobacco Road, North Carolina. From there, I went to Sweetens Cove in Tennessee for 17 days. Nine of that, the course was closed due to flooding. I went to Pinehurst, North Carolina for 45 days. So I went from North Carolina to Tennessee back to North Carolina. Yeah. 45 days. From there, I went up to my family's house in New York for a little bit. And then I started working my way back west. I was in Jackson Hole for a little bit. And then I went to Rams Hill in Southern California for 36 days. And then Vegas for 2 weeks. Yeah, so video content. I mean, video content is something that's been on my radar for quite some time. And I was trying to figure out how to incorporate it into the fold with what I'm doing. I mean, I'm a one-man road show. Everything you see with Golf in Your State is me. And I started realizing, you know, in order to execute this the way I want to do it, and to the level of quality that I want to do it, I'm going to have to outsource at least part of this. So, you know, Kyle Walton and I, great friend, you know, we had met at the PGA show earlier in the year, kind of talked about my idea of what I was thinking about doing, because this was already in the program prior to COVID hitting. But with COVID and me quarantining at these golf courses, I was like, now's the time. This is a perfect opportunity for me to dip my toe in it. It's a really unique story. I was the only one that had the opportunity to do this during quarantine, at least that I know of. So it was kind of like the perfect storm, right? We had already had the conversation. I had the idea. We already had the conversation, and then it presented itself. So I started with Sweetens Cove. That was the first place that I actually documented. When I was sitting at Tobacco Road, I was like, that's basically the location. I was like, now's the time. This is so cool. Like, basically camping in the woods at Tobacco Road for 8 days. I pretty much had open rein to do whatever I wanted there, thanks to the kind folks at Tobacco Road. So it gave me the opportunity to really like think about the content side and how I could create a really not only unique story, but attractive story, right? Something people would actually be entertained by. And I ended up Sweetens Cove, the first one. I think we did 3 videos out of Sweetens in 17 days. So yeah, it's something I'm crazy passionate about. Like, I've got the bug now. What else was I going to say about it? I mean, I've definitely got the bug. Like, you know, as a creative, my specialty has been still imagery. And now, like, the fire's been lit again, because it gives me like a new creative outlet. And not only am I like, you know, still doing what I was doing previously and taking on this additional work, it's I think made my work better overall because I have to be more creative with it. And it's, you know, I can feel the fire lit again, which is super, super fun and exciting for me. Cause I haven't like it as much as things have progressed in the past couple of years, it's like, I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again. Right. It becomes pretty routine and, you know, feels like I'm going through the steps, which is great. But at the same time, like creatively, it's easy to find yourself like pigeonholed into a rut that way, mm-hmm. where now the video has me looking at all these places like Bandon, very, very, than I ever have previously. Cause I'm trying to tell a bigger story about, you know, my relationship here, my relationship with the place and the people in the community.
Sure. Yeah. And that it's on his YouTube page. If you want to check that out, it's really cool. I like it. Cause it's real and it's your buddy did a really good job of editing it, but it's still like very raw and gives you more of a glimpse into your kind of daily life too.
I mean, this says a lot about it too, is, you know, Kyle and I worked together on a couple projects and I started just steamrolling with it. And I took on so much work that I had to bring on another editor. So I'm working with Thomas Wrighton as well, who's done great things for me. Really, really talented guy. So I have, you know, it's pretty cool that I'm hoping to just keep bringing on more people. Right. Like the hope is that I can just keep creating and keep, you know, helping others and all of it. So, yeah.
Yeah. A different creative opportunity came up when, I don't know if the USGA reached out to you and said, hey, here's our trophy. Here's the US Open trophy. Just travel around with it and like make something happen. Like what? Okay. So you had free reign with that. It's like, go to all of our US Open sites and kick it with the trophy.
Yeah. So fall of last year, I was hired by the USGA to be the face of the US Open trophy tour presented by Lexus. And essentially what they've done in previous years with the trophy tour is the current champion will take the trophy on kind of a 2-week media tour prior to the upcoming event, just to build hype around the US Open. Unfortunately, because of COVID and timing, Gary Woodland wasn't able to do the traditional trophy tour. So the USGA started looking for other opportunities across my desk. You know, there was some other people in the mix for the bid. So it was something I was really, really excited about to get the work. But yeah, I had the US Open trophy in my possession for 24 days. Basically what I was telling people during the project was that I was the official torchbearer of the US Open trophy. So I was taking it from Wingfoot this year's location to Torrey Pines next year's location, and visiting 8 locations. What I didn't tell people was that I was actually creating video content for the USGA. So in partnership with Lexus, what the USGA was doing was a sweepstakes. So they were giving away a round at each of the 8 locations. And what I was doing was creating video content as promotional pieces for the sweepstakes and for the trophy tour. So I came up with a really unique idea, you know, a little bit of course history, a little bit of course sizzle, and then taking the trophy into the community and getting it in the hands of passionate golfers. I mean, typically when you see the US Open trophy, it's in an acrylic box. Can't touch it. Can't do anything with it.
White gloves. Yeah. White the gloves, whole deal.
The whole nine. You know, my thought for it was I want to really engage some people that love this game and will truly appreciate having this thing in their hands. And it was absolutely fantastic to see the reactions of people as they, you know, not only got to embrace the trophy and really experience what it's like to have that. You know, it's a special feeling having that thing in your hands. And there's just so much history to it. And, you know, it was really exciting for me to learn even more about that, share the knowledge that I was gaining, bring it into the communities and surprise people with it. You know, the project was very, very inspiring.
So now's perfect time to go check that stuff out. You look back at the US Open and all of their handles. and catch up before the Open.
On the USGA YouTube, search US Open Trophy Tour on YouTube.
Which brings us to now. The newest project that you're working on is self-titled The Detour Project. And I know it's a little bit different because you're at Band Today, right? But that's not really what Detour is about, is it? It's more so, hey, you know these places. I'm not going to play those places. Yeah. I'm going nearby and checking out the places that no one else knows or no one else really talks about, or just the locals maybe know.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, there's a this project's pretty intensive. I mean, like I said at the beginning, the main goal is to tell the origin story, right? And I'm doing that in a really, really unique manner that I can't quite say yet. But, you know, there's a lot that touches on this. So I'm revisiting a bunch of memorable moments and experiences, you know, places that I've been, campsites I've been to in the past, resorts that I've fallen in love with, pretty much everybody that's on this patch coat here. Like, I'm coming to see all of them because they're all my favorite places that I've built relationships with. It has a lot to do with people on the road, but then there's also those times where, you know, I've learned that everything in my life has come from a detour. So it's properly named because, you know, everything that I've accomplished in golf in the past 4.5 years has been due to the fact that an opportunity has presented itself and I've made the effort to go do it. Exactly what a detour is, right? You know, it's all about what's next. Like, you know, it's part origin story. It could also be written as a final chapter. But there's a lot of spontaneity in what I do, right? Mm-hmm. And I intentionally keep it that way because when opportunities present themselves, I don't want to have to say no, right? I have to be there tomorrow, so I can't do this. And sometimes my schedule's like that, but a lot of times, you know, I have a day or two and I'm just sitting in an area. And so my hope is that kind of as I travel state to state, people are like, you should go play this place. You should go play that place. And when the timing allows, I'm going to go do it. I mean, I originally thought that I would have been in Northern California about 5 days ago. And I ended up spending a lot more longer in Washington because people suggested some places. I went and saw places. I stayed at, like, you know, I found a couple golf courses that I didn't think even, it wasn't even part of it. But they came up and I went there and I met the people and I had a great time and they invited me to stay. So, you know, that's what it's all about, is like, how do I build the relationship that I have with Band and Dunes? How did I build that relationship? Well, that's what Detour is all about. I'm going to show people how this whole thing happens. Because it's all about, you know, like I said, opportunities presenting themselves and you know, wanting to experience those opportunities.
When can people expect to see the first iteration of the Detour Project?
Very good question.
Maybe you don't even know that yet.
I had a pretty solid idea, but as I've been going, I'm kind of rethinking how it's going to roll out. You know, on social, people are seeing what I'm doing, but I'm keeping it very, it's a snapshot, right? Where the video content is going to be a lot more of a deep dive, but it takes time to do it. And I don't want to do it state by state. I want to do it in a longer stretch. And originally the plan was, okay, I'm going to get through 3 states in a week. That I can make that first week, basically do it as like a weekly. Now I'm realizing that it's almost like, I realize the similarities real quick between a golfer in the state of Washington and a golfer in the state of Oregon. So, you know, as I'm still feeling things out. Everything is a feel, right? Mm-hmm. But as I'm seeing it right now, the Pacific Northwest golfer and the golfing community here is like its own thing. So I'm thinking that as of right now, this may change, but as of right now, like, I'm going to base it on kind of regions and how I see, again, going back to the modern day culture of golf in America, like how I see certain places fitting together in those categories.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'll keep an eye out for it.
Long story short, I think, you know, probably another 2 weeks on the first episode of it.
Yeah. But I won't hold you to it because I know that can change.
Yeah, it could change. I might get a few more weeks in and be like, you know, it's too good. You know, because there's a couple different ideas floating around. And I have a couple different production pieces that I'm doing with this content. So it's trying to figure out how I can create the best narrative around what I'm doing. And it's a constant thing I'm thinking about at this point, because the narrative's constantly changing. As much as I want it to be consistent, you know, it's a perfect detour.
Yeah. So,
you know, I think ultimately the story, the narrative could be a lot more cohesive if I waited until the end of the 60 days and put together, you know, everything after the fact. But I feel like it's almost like my journal, right? It's almost like, what am I doing from day to day as I travel from place to place is how I look at it.
Yeah.
So that's what we're rolling with, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Cool. Yeah. It just must be so freeing to, you know, be on your own schedule and not really have to answer to anybody, kind of make your own you don't even have deadlines. You're just like, it's when it's ready, it'll be ready. Until then, I'm just going to keep trying to figure out how I can make it the best thing I can.
At least on this one, right? Like, I do have, you know, there are partners involved in this. But, you know, they all understand how I operate, especially on a passion project like this, right? Like, the end result will come. It's just a matter of when it will come. And for me, like, I don't want to force anything, right? Again, this is candid. It's real, you know. This isn't a scripted production. This is, how do I create a really cool narrative around what I do? And I mean, you said it earlier, like, you know, my schedule is, take this project out, my schedule is based on obligation, right? Mm-hmm. As this thing has grown, I'm here, there, everywhere. And I set aside this time to be like, okay, I've done this for 4.5 years now. It's grown. It's become what I, you know, the business I wanted it to be. But how do I get back to where I was on that very first trip, where I could explore for really compelling campsites? I could enjoy those campsites. I could, you know, decide to stay in Bandon for 2 days longer than I originally planned. 'Cause that spontaneity is like, that's what makes travel fun to me, right? I've never been like a regimented traveler. If you found me in my previous professional career going on vacation, I am never the guy that would print an itinerary. Like, that's not me. I'm not pre-booking activities. I'm not doing any of it. Mm-hmm. And I worked in the hotel business. I worked for a destination management company where that was my job. That's all I did was, you know, plan people's vacations to Jackson Hole. And as myself as a traveler, going back to, you know, all the way back, when I travel, I just like to go with it, you know, see what happens is the best way to be. I mean, I would travel to Costa Rica for a month with no hotel reservations. Like, that's the way, in my opinion, to do it, right? Because then as you come across something that's cool, you get to experience it. Where, you know, if I went online and booked my hotel reservations for a week here, a week there, like, yes, I would get to stay at this fantastic place, probably get a good price on it, but it wouldn't make room for that cool bed and breakfast that I came across on, you know, the jungle highway. Or, you know, it gives you a lot more opportunity to create a very memorable experience by being spontaneous with things. Yeah. And I know that it's another untraditional thought, right? I think most travelers are the opposite. They want things planned out so that they don't have to worry about when they get there. But that worry about it, to me, is like how you find the really rewarding stuff. If you're not willing to take that risk that, you know, I'm going to have to stay in a crappy hotel tonight because I couldn't find a good deal. Like, if you're not willing to take that risk, you're not willing to find that gem.
Yeah, I was going to say you're doing what so many people probably wish they could do, just don't have the ability to pull the trigger on
until
that.
Until they like, got all right, business out of it.
until they actually make it their entire way of life.
It's very, you know, it's one of those things that I think everybody wants to do it until they actually like start experiencing it. Oh, I got one.
Oh, perfect.
Got one.
For anyone listening.
What's the word?
I saw you yesterday, dude.
So good. What's happening?
Not much.
I'm actually recording a podcast. Say hi to Lynx Magazine.
What's up?
Hi, Lynx Magazine.
Hey, what's going on today?
Not much. Getting ready to go out on another loop.
Oh, hell yeah.
See this guy out in the area.
One of my Van and Looper friends here.
Yeah, sweet. Baby. Right there. There he
is. Crushing it. He's sweet. Actually on the van.
Oh, nice.
Better.
I can get you some though. Anytime you need, I make messages.
Man, I appreciate you.
I'll text you back, send me an address.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Awesome. Appreciate you.
Sweet. It cut out for a second. I didn't hear what he said.
He's like, I'm the one that always asks you if I can send you some soap. He makes handmade soaps.
Wow. That. So cool. That's awesome. That's it right there. That's the life.
Me, like sitting in the parking lot, you know, it's chances are very good that the looper, you know, my lifestyle, I've talked about this openly before. My lifestyle is very, very similar to that of a caddy, right? Like I work seasonal jobs in hotels so that I could snowboard 100 days a year. Now I do this business so that I can travel 365 days a year and meet people like him and, you know, be at places like this. And, you know, it's those relations. That's what it's all about. It is what it is all about. But my life is very similar to a caddy, right? Yeah. Those guys are working obviously to make money, but they're working this job because they love the game of golf. And, you know, culture wise, you know, the term ski bum is used frequently. I mean, I'm the golf hobo. I mean, golf bum, yeah. Right here. And they all know it. Like all of these guys know it. Like all my looper friends out here, they are just like so enamored with this. And it's a thing of mutual respect too, right? They respect what I'm doing and what I create, and I respect what they're doing, because, you know, I've said this a lot too, if golf in your state flops, you're gonna find me looping out here abandoned. That's what's gonna happen. As soon as I'm ready to close shop on this thing, I'm coming out here and I'm going to be carrying bags. That's 100% the truth.
It's another thing that's like people say they'll do one day, and like, you know, only the very few can pick up, pack their bags and go as far west as you can possibly go basically and live that life.
These guys are crazy busy right now. Like Bandon is booming. It's been one of those things, you know, great for the game of golf. COVID's been great for the game of golf. And these guys are working hard.
Like, yeah.
All my caddy friends, I've reached out to a lot of people I know in this town, and everyone's like, I'm on 36 today. There's no way. I'm on 36. There's no way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, it's doing well out here.
What's like the best example of something spontaneous that didn't have to do with golf, that because of what you do and because of golf, like an activity or an experience you got to do that was just something you never dreamed of doing? And that may be a tough question.
I mean, it happens all the time. It's a pretty easy question. Because yeah. It happens every day. I mean, okay, so let's use this morning as an example. I'm sleeping in the van, not here on property. I'm down in town, my spot that I always sleep at when I come to Bandon. It's waterfront. It's just a roadside pullout. So I'm sleeping there. I wake up in the morning, make my coffee, get my stuff all together. I'm sitting in the front seat just on my phone doing whatever. And this gentleman rides by on a bike. He turns around, comes back to the window, starts a conversation. He's from California. He just bought a place here in Oregon. And, you know, we talk for 5 minutes as he's sitting on his bike and I'm in my passenger in the driver's seat. And he, within a 10 minute conversation, he told me where the keys are to his house. He told me to go to his house and take a shower. He's leaving. He's finishing his bike ride. He's taking a shower. He's getting in his car and he's flying back to California. He tells me where the keys are to his house, says, go take a shower, make yourself comfortable, hang out. You can stay, put the van in the, he owns an acre of land right in the center of town. He's like, you can just park there, do whatever you want to do. I'm like, wow. Like, wow. I've literally met this guy 10 minutes ago and he was so kind that he opened up his home. He's leaving and he told me where his flipping keys are. Like, that's, to me, that's unheard. That's a really unique experience. And it's something mm-hmm. that I'm going to remember. So, you know, I may have only had the opportunity to have a 10-minute conversation with him today. And I'm not going to take him up on his offer now, but you best believe that I'll remember that for the next time I come back to Bandon. I'll be reaching out to that gentleman. You know, I'll probably be staying with him, like staying and parking the van in his lot. You know, who knows what's going to happen the next time we meet each other, right? But I can guarantee that we're going to hang out. He's a diehard golfer. Like, he lives in Southern California. He bought a place up here. He's so excited about it. But he actually has not had the chance to play Bandon yet. He's come up here a bunch. Hasn't had the chance to play it. And I was like, wow. When's your flight?
Yeah.
That was the first thing I said to him, when's your flight? Like, we'll go out there right now. If you've never had the experience and you bought a house here because you love golf that much, like, that is flipping cool. Like, that just says how much he loves the game, that he bought a place here sight unseen based on like what he had heard of this place.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what the future holds, but you know, I could see us who knows.
Yeah.
We'll probably go fishing together. Who knows? He told me to take his e-bike. I mean, he's like, go rip the e-bike around town. You'd love it. I'm like, I'll wait till next time when you're back and then we'll do it together. You know, like,
that's awesome.
But it happens to me all the time.
Well, that's amazing.
I'm trying to think of a little bit more adventurous.
I don't know. You do a lot of adventurous stuff as it is.
I mean, again, that's the detour. Like, somebody will hit me up on Instagram and be like, hey, I live there, you should go do this, and then I'll go do it, right? Or, hey, I live here, we should go do this, and then I'll meet up with some random person that takes me on some incredible adventure. But, yeah. It's pretty much the daily program for golf in your state.
Yeah. Is it a lot of that? I mean, is it a lot of people that just you don't know, but they found you on Instagram and they're like, you got to do this. You got to do this. Like, here's my buddy. Here's a connect.
Yep.
Like, how cool is that? The power of social media in that way.
I mean, it happens to me all the time. I mean, it's one of, in my opinion, it's the true power of social is, you know, the connecting opportunity, right? There's thousands upon thousands of us that are talking on social media, but have never met each other in person, right? And if you're communicating with somebody for months, years, who knows, and then you finally have the opportunity to connect with somebody in person and, you know, have that experience that they've been thinking about forever, right? Like, people look at me and they're like, oh, he does really cool stuff, right? Here he is, you know, going fishing today and playing golf at this amazing place and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, with repetition, you see a pattern, right? So Here I am having these experiences over and over and over again. Here you have this guy that I've been talking to on social media for 2 years, but I've never had the chance to connect. And they're thinking about, you know, that experience that I could have with them, right? And then when the day comes that you actually have that experience, it creates like this very memorable experience for both myself and them, because we've both been building it up, right? Like, you know, talking about what I've done recently with videos, like the Outer Banks is a great example of that. Jacob Galladay and I have been talking for years on Instagram, and we didn't meet each other until about year and a half ago or so. And he kept telling me, like, you're going to love the Outer Banks. Like, just based on him knowing that I love the outdoors, I love Jackson. Like, he knew that I was going to love that place.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept saying it over and over and over again. You got to come visit. Like, you're going to love it, blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, the day comes and we have this amazing experience documented. And it created something I will never forget, right? Video or not, like, that is, it's the experience that I'm looking for. It's exactly what I'm looking for in my travels. Cause again, it's golf, but it's not all golf. It's more community and place and relationship.
That's amazing. That's what it's all about. I've taken enough of your time while you're at Bandon Dunes, just making you sit inside and talk to me for an hour, but, I've enjoyed it immensely. And where can people locate you and your content and follow you around?
Instagram's my primary, at Golf in Your State, YouTube, Golf in Your State, pretty much Golf in Your State, everything. You can cool. Google Mark Curtis, you can, yeah, all those, you know, internet things.
And throw a dart at the map and try to figure out where he's at any given day, but otherwise look for the van. I appreciate you taking the time again and appreciate all you're doing for golf and the perception of golf and everything, man. It's so cool. Thanks for joining us and look forward to catching up with you at some point again soon.
I appreciate you having me, Al. It's always a pleasure to see you. We'll do something cool in the future. I have a feeling we're going to do something really cool. I don't know what it is quite yet, but Lynx Magazine and I are going to do something cool.
We'll come back to Hilton Head and we'll figure it out.
I like it. You know, I like that spot.
Yes, sir.